Certainly good to look out in the audience this morning to see all of you here with us. We appreciate your presence among us, especially those of you that are visiting with us. We're so thankful that you're among us this morning and invite you back anytime you have the opportunity to be with us here at Market Street in our services. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to take them and turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Begin a reading there this morning in our lesson. 1 John chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Is that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness and show unto you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And this is the message we have heard of Him and declared unto you, that God is in light, and Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, I think we oftentimes in our walk of life, we may hear people talk about the idea of having a personal relationship with Jesus. And I think when we hear that, sometimes we may hear our personal relationship with Jesus, and we may sometimes even cringe when we hear that word. We'll say, oh, personal relationship with Jesus. But I would suggest to you that really, that's what our relationship ought to be, is a personal relationship. It is a relationship that we personally all have with Jesus Christ. And that's what he's talking about here in 1 John chapter 1. He's talking about this fellowship that we have with him. And this fellowship is in his Son, Jesus Christ, and with the Father. And so when we think about this relationship we have with God, we need to understand that it's a relationship that only I have with him. Yes, now there are others who I have vertical relationship with. We have fellowship with one another. Yes, but it's my relationship with God that really is what is forefront of my life. And if I think that somehow my relationship with God is based upon my fellowship with other people and their relationship to God, then I've got a problem. I've got a problem. And I think that maybe that is maybe the problem that many times Christians have, is that they're trying to base their relationship with God based upon their relationship with others. And so they're really more concerned about others' relationship with God than they are their own personal relationship with God. And that presents all kinds of problems. It presents a real problem that really, if we're not careful, we find ourselves walking away from having a relationship with God we ought to have. And we don't have the joy that John talks about here in 1 John chapter 1, that our joy will be full. Because we really can't ever have a confidence of a relationship with God whose forgiveness of sins comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because our relationship now is based upon what somebody else's relationship is. And we look at someone else and we say, well, their relationship isn't right. They're not perfect. Just like we're not perfect. And so now we got a real problem. But when we begin to see our relationship is with God and through His Son, Jesus Christ, who is perfect, who is the forgiveness of our sins, then we can really become to realize that this is the one who we ought to have our relationship in. As a matter of fact, if you'll take your Bibles and turn over with me to the Gospel of John, I'm turning to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, I think there's something that's said here about Jesus Christ when he came to live this life upon the earth, that he was God, and that's what he talks about in the beginning of that chapter. In the first three verses, he talks about the fact in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Dropping on down below all that, it says that he came into the world. The world, verse 10 says, the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came to his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. This relationship, a personal relationship with God, and our personal relationship is going to cause us to do some things. It's going to cause us to begin to think about my life and my relationship with God and I'm going to begin to think about that, and I'm going to order my life in a certain way because this is absolutely important. This is between me and God. And we need to see that. The first thing I want to notice with you this morning is that I need to take Christ seriously. Because this is a personal thing. This is a personal matter with me, and I need to take personally my relationship with Jesus Christ. Sin is not just a personal offense. I mean, sin is a personal offense. When we sin, we oftentimes do something, and it hurts us. When we sin, when we do something that hurts someone else, we sin, and we feel bad about that. We may have some remorse about that. We sin against our wives, our husbands, our children, whatever the case may be, our friends, our parents, whoever it may be, and we feel remorse for that. But I'm afraid that oftentimes that's where our sorrow for our offense goes. It just goes to those vertical relationships, and we don't really take seriously what this means to Jesus. This is a personal offense. It's an abomination to God. And we need to see that in that way. We need to see how God does not look upon sin. He does not have any place of sin. As a matter of fact, in our reading that we read, there in God, there is no darkness at all. And we need to see that. And I think oftentimes what we don't is we don't see the importance of that relationship. And so when I think about the relationship that we ought to have, I think about taking Christ seriously. I think about how many people just don't think about that. I think about a lot of people that are Christians that probably don't think day by day about their relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't think about when they're getting up in the morning and they're talking to their wife, or the wives are talking to their husband, as the case may be. I don't see myself on that side oftentimes. But anyway, wives talking, whatever, they don't see that how they talk to their husband or their wife is hurting Jesus Christ. They don't see that when you tell them, you tell your children, shut up, that really means anything. But you know, you say, well, I've hurt my child, I've hurt my husband, I've hurt my wife, I've hurt somebody, but who have I hurt? Who am I hurting in all of that? When I do something that causes offense to somebody, but really my offense to somebody is an offense to somebody Jesus died for, and Jesus is hurt by that, and we need to see that. And I don't take seriously my relationship in the way I should. And you know what? I think about a lot of people who do not count their relationship with Jesus Christ like they should, or they would do things differently. I'm thinking about one example about this. It's found in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, we have where Jesus says this, verse 24. Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What that means is that my relationship with Jesus Christ means I'm going to deny self. My life is no longer my life. My life now is Jesus Christ's life. I'm now living my life for Jesus Christ. My life is about pleasing him. My life is about doing what Jesus wants me to do. You know, Paul summed it up in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. We remember that verse, don't we? For I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless, yet I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. We remember that verse. We may have committed that verse to our memory. That's the idea that my life is not mine, it's Jesus Christ. I'm going to deny myself. And I'm going to take up the cross, and I'm going to live daily for him. That's taking Christ serious. I think about how many people don't do that. I think about in examples in Scripture. I think about over in Matthew chapter 19. You remember the rich young ruler that comes to Jesus and says, I want to follow you? He says, well, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And what did he do? He goes away sorrowful. He didn't want a relationship with God. He wasn't ready to deny self. He wasn't ready to take on that responsibility. No, he did not see that personal relationship that he wanted to have. Oh, he said he wanted to have it, but did he really want to have it? And I said the answer to that is no, he didn't. And I'm afraid that oftentimes we as Christians may be the same way. We'll say we want the relationship, but yet we're not ready to take Christ seriously. We're not ready to take him seriously when he says, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. In one gospel, I think Luke says, take your cross daily. It's a day-by-day thing. Are we ready to do that? Second thing I want to say is that when we take a personal relationship seriously, it's going to cause us to take the cross and God's love seriously. If you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look with me in verse 24. Let's back up. Verse 21. It says, for herein too were you called, even because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was there guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who in his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you're healed. Who bare our sins in his own body on the tree. You know, Jesus, when he went to the cross, he bore my sins. He went to the cross with my sins. You know, it's easy for us to start to think about Jesus and going to the cross and dying on the cross. I was watching a program the other day that was depicting the death of Jesus on the cross. And just watching that, and it's really easy for us to sanitize that thing sometimes. Of course, in the video, they had sanitized it, I'm sure, greatly. It was bad enough anyway, but it was sanitized greatly. But then it's easy for us to sanitize it mentally for us. And then we begin to say, well, he's on the cross for somebody else. He's on the cross for all those wicked people. He's for all those people. No, he's on the cross for me. He's on the cross for David Anthony Cox, because David Anthony Cox has sins. David Anthony Cox needs forgiveness of sin. You see, I need to begin to take the cross seriously. I need to begin to see the cross is my reason for Jesus going to the cross. It's not for somebody else he did it. It was because of me he did that. And I begin to think about that. I begin to think that it's God who loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, John 3:16, that if David Anthony Cox believeth in him, he'll never perish. If I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I will never perish. If I will believe him, I will obey him, I'll walk in his ways. If I'll follow in his example, I will never perish. That's what David Anthony Cox can do, because God so loved the world. But you know what? We say, well, God so loved the world. And we put it off on everybody else. It deflects it off of me. But the fact of the matter is when I take a personal relationship seriously, that I've got to take the cross seriously. I've got to take God's love seriously. I can't put it off on somebody else and say, well, it's because of somebody else that Jesus is on the cross. The third thing is I'm going to take sin and our soul serious. I'm going to take sin and my soul. I'm going to take that seriously. Why? Because it's a personal thing. It's a personal thing. When I think about this, I can't help but think about sin and the personal acceptance of responsibility of sin, except that I go to David. And I'm turning to Psalm 51. If you will turn to Psalm 51. I think about David because when I think about David here and his accepting personal responsibility, you're sitting there in your mind and you're saying, now, David, hold on just a minute. David did not accept personal responsibility. What did he do? He tried every way he could to hide his sin. And that is exactly right. He did everything he could to hide his sin from men. And I guess if you can hide sin from men, he did a bang-up job. Nobody knew what he had done. Nobody had any inclination. But Nathan the prophet comes to him there in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and says, you know, you have committed an atrocity. You have sinned against God. And David then says, I have sinned. At that point, the sin had become unmasked. He now was seen for who he was. He now understands my sin, though it may be hidden to the masses of the people, God knows about it. The prophet has come and told me God knows. Psalm 51 follows up on that. Begin reading with me in verse 1. He says, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. I'll stop right here and say, do you notice how personal that sin is? Now, yeah, okay, he sinned against Uriah. He sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned in a lot of ways against a lot of people. He's lied to a lot of people. But you know who he's concerned about? He's concerned about my relationship with God. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. You know, I want to be clear. I want to be justified. Then we read on down, verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. You see, this personal relationship with God was important to David. He was perfect, but what he had to do is he had to take his sin and his soul seriously. And what he's concerned about my sin and my soul. And I want you to restore into my soul its salvation. I want to come back into this relationship with you. And it's going to be the forgiveness of sin that's going to bring that relationship back with me and you. Because what? It's my sins. It's my iniquities that separate me from you, God. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. We're told that's what is separating us from God, is our sins and our iniquities. They've separated us from God. And we need to see that. And so when I'm going through life and I'm living life and I'm living day by day and I'm doing things I do and I do something that's wrong, I don't need to just say, well, that's what everybody else does. Well, what do they expect? They expect somebody who can't do anything wrong? They're expecting perfection? No. Nobody's expecting that. But it's sin. I don't need to somehow or another gloss over as though sin means absolutely nothing. Sin means something. Sin means something, and sin will cost my soul an eternity in hell. And I've got to take that serious. Jesus took it so serious that he went to the cross for me. This means that I'm going to have to take responsibility for my sins. And I think about David, and that's what he did. One day I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether it be good or bad. One day I'm going to stand before the judgment seat, and everything is going to be laid out before me. Every sin I've ever committed that has never been forgiven, I've never asked forgiveness of, it's going to be laid out there. Now, I might have covered it over. It might have glossed over with time. I might have even almost forgotten about it. I might have soothed my conscience to the fact that it means nothing to me anymore. But it's unforgiven. God's going to say, here's the sin. What's your answer to it? What's your answer? If my answer is not Jesus Christ, he's taking care of sin, I will not have an answer. And I will stand before him, undone and lost. So you see, I don't want to do that. I want to have a personal relationship with God. And that means I've got to take sin and my soul serious. I've got to recognize how important that is if I'm going to have a personal relationship with God. And finally, a personal relationship with God means that I will take other people seriously. As I've said, this relationship is personal. It is a personal relationship. But in this personal relationship, there is something about this personal relationship that means there is something about other people that I need to make sure that I understand. I think about how the Bible talks about the importance of people that are being held up to look to as godly examples. I think about Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, one who we are to follow in his steps. And think about how many times we see that kind of idea, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith. Passages after passage that you'll remember who remind us of Jesus Christ and looking to him, following his examples, who left us steps that we might follow in. Then I think about people like the apostles. I think about the apostle Paul when he says, "Be ye followers of me as I am also of Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. I think here's somebody who's saying, "Follow me. Follow me as I follow Christ." Then I think about elders. You're to watch. You're to follow their example. They're not elders and leaders over the flock as lords, and they don't drive the people, but you follow their example. You see their example, and you follow after them. You emulate after their works, the type of people they are. That is what they are. They're examples. I think about what Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy. This gets real personal to me. When he says, "Be thou an example of a believer. Be thou an example. You have influence. Recognize how important your influence is." But you know what? That's true with every one of us. That's true with every one of us. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. And this is the point I want to make about this and how he talks about the importance of our relationship with others. Malachi chapter 4, you with me there? Look with me, beginning in verse 4. He says, "Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto them in Horeb for Israel, with the statutes and the judgments." Now notice verse 5. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet." Of course, this is a reference to the coming of Jesus Christ. "I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite thee with a curse." He says, you know what? He says, you're going to be the kind of people that the hearts of the fathers are going to be turned to the children, the children are going to be turned to the fathers. You're going to have influence on each other. You're going to be there for one another. You can't help but living this life and be an influence on others. And you know what? That means I've got to take others seriously. That means when I'm living my life, I have to be careful how I walk. I oftentimes say, you know, as you're growing up and your children are small, and you say to your children, if you don't see mom or dad do it, then you don't do it. That makes a mother and father really take responsibility for what they do. But that's the way it ought to be. As the heart of the fathers are turned to the children, they walk knowing their children are watching their steps. Then the children are turned to their fathers. And what we see is we see how important this is. And I don't think that we can diminish from the idea of how important it is for us to recognize our influence upon others. But our influence on others is only going to be good as long as we understand, first and foremost, our personal responsibility to God. Our personal relationship with the Lord, that we take that first and foremost. You know, this morning you're here, it's an indication that you understand the importance of your relationship with God because you're here. But may we take the relationship with God far more important than just being here and being with one another. This is a great time that we can come together with people who are like-minded, who are like us, who take the responsibility of their lives and their relationship with God is foremost in their life. But may we recognize what that means in submitting to Him in all things, to walking with Him in all the ways that He would have us to walk. And maybe this morning that's where you see yourself. Maybe you see yourself not walking with Him because you have not submitted to Him. You haven't done the first things you need to do, and that is to believe on Him to become a child of His. You know, our relationship with God and our relationship with Him is told in 1 John chapter 3 when He says, "Beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God." What a great thought that we can be called the sons of God in this relationship. That we can be called the children of God in this relationship. But if we're not born again in the family of God, we can't be a part of that family. We're not sons of God. We're not children of God. And maybe that's what you need to do this morning. We can assist you in making your life what it ought to be. Let us know how we can help you. While we stand and sing, won't you come?